in Psalm 102, but go back to Genesis chapter 12. Some of the first few references, and we're going to read several, so get your Bible handy, are familiar passages as we start. But I want to remind us of something. You know, why do we pay so close attention to Israel? And I'm going to tell you why in a simple sentence. Israel is God's alarm clock. You know what's going on in the world when you keep your eye on Israel. Now, originally, let's go back and look at some of this. Remember what God said originally in Genesis 12. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee, and thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now remember, that's the original giving of the Abrahamic covenant, and one, two, three or four times in there, God said, I will, I will, I will. And so once Abraham left, everything for this covenant to happen is in the control of the Lord. Now I want you to turn to chapter 13, and I'm going to read a few verses here. And so Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. So God said, go, and Abraham, he packed up and he left, verse 4, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Then verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Then skip down to verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. So as we remember and turn to Deuteronomy 32, God promised Abraham all that land. Now, what did I say, Deuteronomy? 32. Thank you. 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8. Now, some of you might remember this when we went through the covenants, the major covenants that God had made with Israel. But look at verse 8. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bonds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So it's all according to the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste hollowing wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Now, do you see that last phrase? Israel continues to be the apple of God's eye. And sometimes you'll hear us refer to that. Now, go back to that Psalm 122. Nope. This time I want you. I was wondering if you would catch that. Good job. But this time go to Psalm 122. I'll come back to that Psalm 102 just shortly. But we look here now at Psalm 122 and verse 6. I may come back to this again, but it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, every Wednesday night, just about, Brother Gamut says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, that's where we get that from. Psalm 122 and verse 6. Peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thee good. So we know that we're supposed to pray. Turn to Zechariah chapter 2. We know we are supposed to pray. The best way to find that, hit Matthew and go backwards, or you'll run right into it real quick. Like Zechariah chapter 2. We are to pray for Israel. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The best thing the president did, President Trump did, in my opinion, is he moved the capital to Jerusalem. He moved our embassy to Jerusalem. I think that's the best thing as a president, and I think he's done a lot of good things, but I think that's the number one thing that he did. Now I want you to look there with me at Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. When people mess with Israel, they're messing with the Lord. I mean, it's just not a really good idea. Now let's go back and look at a few more Psalms. Let's go back to, I'll do these in a different order. Psalm 132. What I want you to get from going to all these references is, you know, Israel's not just mentioned in one or two places in the book of Genesis. It's smeared all over the Bible. Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Now that's very important verses. Go back ahead, whatever, to Psalm 135 and verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. I mean, this is all about Israel. And then Psalm 137 and verse 5. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, referring to Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. By the way, I talked to a guy, and, you know, he says, well, that's just Old Testament. It's all, Israel's all through the Bible. Now let's look at a few more references. I told you we were going to look at a lot of them. We're going to come back to Psalms in just a moment, but go to Isaiah chapter 49. Verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And then verse 15 says this. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. And so some people think, well, God's just done with Israel. God's not forgotten Israel. Now let's look at verse 25 in the same chapter. Oh, let's take the last half of it. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And then the end of verse 26, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know I the Lord and my Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And finally, go back to Psalm 102. Verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. See that? For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof, so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth, thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Now in Scripture, we've read all those scriptures. Zion is used figuratively to mean, I guess you could say three things, but it all really is one. It refers to the people of God. It refers to the city of Jerusalem. And it refers to the land of Israel. And you can see that in the text. And if you keep your eye on Israel, because there's Bible prophecy that deals with that country that has yet to be fulfilled. So we keep our eyes on Israel, and when we read Zion, we keep our eyes on the people of God, the city of Jerusalem, and the land of Israel. And we didn't turn there, and I guess we're not going to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 9, it talked about my city, my land, my city. I believe Daniel 9:27, somewhere in there. So that the city of God is Jerusalem. So God's holy land, and the Jews go, as the Jews go, so goes the world. That's why we keep our eye on that group of people. The Jews are God's yardstick. They're like, it's God's outline or God's blueprint for what God is going to do in the rest of the world. Now, the land of Israel is the most important spot on the earth. Here it is, this little country about the size of New Jersey, which you can drive through all the way around in a day. But that's all as big as Israel is, about the size of New Jersey. And it's the most important piece of property anywhere in the world. And it's the only country whose future is foretold in the Bible. By the way, America's future is not foretold in the Bible, except this. All the nations rise up against Israel. It gets quiet. Wouldn't that include us? One of these days, America will do that. Now, I don't know. I have no idea what day that will be, but it will happen. So the most important city in the world is Jerusalem. It's not Washington. It's not Moscow. The most important city is Jerusalem. And the most important piece of land in the entire world is the land of Israel. Now, I want to say just a few things about Israel. And I say, I've been struggling to continue to teach more on creationism because I've been doing so much reading on it and research on it just because I have been. But I'm fascinated with it. It fascinates me. So, or to give a lesson on Israel. So I chose this for tonight. First of all, Israel is the spiritual center of the world. I would think everybody would know that. But in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. In Nazareth, he grew up to maturity. In Galilee, he walked and taught on the mountainside and beside the sea. In Jerusalem, the Lord was crucified, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. From the Mount of Olives, he ascended into heaven, and to the Mount of Olives, he shall return. His feet will first touch down on the Mount of Olives. Now look at Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And some of you know this. And Zechariah 14, 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which before Jerusalem on the east and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now that's something. But when you stand, if you go to Israel and you stand on the Mount of Olives and you look down into the Kidron Valley, you look right up and there is Solomon's Temple. I mean, it is an unbelievable place to be. What else happened on the Mount of Olives? Jesus walked there before. Remember when he first entered into Jerusalem during his Passion Week? That's where he entered. So it's the spiritual center of the world. Secondly, oh, by the way, I might as well say this. Rome is not the spiritual center of the world. Jerusalem is the, I can't get away from that, can I? Jerusalem is the spiritual center of the world. Secondly, it's the geographic center of the world. Listen how Ezekiel said it in Ezekiel 15:5. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. Did you know that Israel is located in the hub of three continents? Right there. That's where Israel is. Thirdly, it's the revelation center of the world. From this land, you have Moses, the prophets, the apostles, and from Moses and Joshua and the prophets and the apostles, what did we get? We got the Word of God. Israel or Jerusalem, however you want to say that, is the revelation center of the world. It is. Not only that, it's the prophecy center of the world. Prophecy is pre-written history. Like you write something, like when we think of prophecy that's been fulfilled, it was written thousands of years ago, and then on down the road, it's fulfilled perfectly. Perfectly. Well, the land of Israel is the only land belonging to God's people, and the details of their future is carefully recorded in Scripture. And if you want to know what's going on, study Israel and her people. So we've got the revelation center of the world. By the way, there's no new revelation coming to anybody today. It's the prophecy center of the world. It's pre-written history. Fifthly, Israel's also the storm center of the world. You know what I mean by that? You know where they are, right? The Middle East. And specifically Israel is the world's greatest troubled spot. Now you're in Zechariah, so look at chapter 12 and verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Everybody will be gathered together against Jerusalem and against Israel, and God's just going to take care of it all. We see in the news the gathering storms, or what you could even say maybe the storm clouds of Armageddon, as God prepares to come. Sixthly, Israel is also the peace center. Now, in Psalm 122 and verse 6, it said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. But do they really have peace over there now? They got about the farthest thing from peace. That's always been that way. It's just always been that way. There will never be peace in earth until there is peace in Jerusalem, until Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, comes and rules and reigns from Jerusalem, which he will one day. Did you know that when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you know what actually you're praying for? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because there will be no peace in Jerusalem until Jesus comes. But we pray for it, because we're praying that the Lord comes. Now, we want our Lord to reign from Zion and to set upon the throne of his father, David. That's in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. Seventhly, Israel one day will be the glory center of the world. You know that? When Jesus our Lord comes and returns to earth, all the nations of the world will come to Jerusalem to worship him, all of them. Jerusalem will be the capital city not only of Israel, but it'll be the capital city of the entire world. And the word of the Lord shall go forth out of Zion. Listen to what the Bible says. Oh, you can turn there. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. You're already in the prophetical book section. You might just well turn a few pages backwards. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, Jesus will reign from Jerusalem, or Israel is at the center of God's plan. And that's why we keep our eyes on that. Now, I'm going to mention this. I should have mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to mention it now. I was talking to somebody who believes, don't turn there, but if you read the last chapters in the book of Ezekiel, you find that sacrifices are made again. You've read that? And some people are like, okay, why are these sacrifices made? And one guy said, well, I don't know why they're there, but I know what they're not there for. Well, one guy tried to tell me, and this guy is pretty much a hyper-dispensationalist. And so he says, well, it's all going to go back as it was in the Old Testament, where sacrifices are necessary. Now, there's been two or three different guys I've heard that from. But let me just, and I'm going to tell you what I told him. If that's true, then Jesus would not be Israel's Messiah. Because he is their Messiah, the sacrifices in the book of Ezekiel, and you're going to read that some days and maybe get confused, but the sacrifices in Ezekiel can have nothing to do with the atonement of sins. Jesus made the atonement for sin from, well, when he died on the cross of Calvary, all the way to eternity. It's the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of lost, rotten sinners like us that he died. And he is their Messiah. So I can't remember the guy's name on YouTube. But when people say some of that stuff like that, you just kind of have to ignore it. And, I'm not 100%. I think I know who it was, but I'm not 100% positive. But that's where I saw it, and it's like, okay. And I'm not saying all the preachers on YouTube are bad, but I'm saying some of them on there certainly are. And you got to keep your eyes on it. You got to know your stuff. But don't let them tell you that what's going on in this, where everything goes back to the Old Testament. Everything does not go back to the Old Testament. Jesus is the Jews' Messiah. And if you're here today, he's your Savior as well. So, Lord, as we look at these things and we're reminded of these things, and as we pray every Wednesday night for the peace of Israel, may we understand that we are even praying literally, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we know that he's the Prince of Peace. And we know that he will come one day to rule and reign from the throne of his father David. We get it. And Father, I pray that we would find a place in our hearts, a special place for your chosen people, your chosen land, and your chosen city specifically. May we love you, and may we love them. In Jesus' name, amen. So keep your eyes on the news over there, and you'll kind of have an idea of what God's program is and what God's doing for the, around the world.